Ari Rosenbaum here with another episode of that 401k podcast. This week's episode, trying to be very, very timely, the CARES Act and the issues that I see for plan sponsors and plan providers. And of course, first things first, this is the part of the show where I got a shill for my events. Of course, as we know, Houston and St. Louis, which were scheduled for April and May, are on hold. Trying to get some new dates for that. Hopefully, we will have that 401k conference in Minneapolis on June the 5th. There are no guarantees it's going to happen, unfortunately. It's obviously contingent on flattening the curve and, of course, the Major League Baseball season starting, which may or may not start until mid-June. We'll get more information about that. And then, of course, what was booked. Hopefully, we'll be out of quarantine by then, which will be December the 4th, Las Vegas, Suburban Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Ballpark. That's Friday, December 4th. Going to have a fun event. The Las Vegas Aviators are the Oakland A's AAA baseball team. So in line with that, trying to get a guest who was a former Oakland A's great. Larry's got somebody in mind that we could book. So hopefully that will come into pass. And more importantly, time-wise, by the time you hear this episode, you got 2 weeks to go to sign up for that 401k virtual conference. It's a Zoom conference starting Friday, April 17th, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern. Going to have about 4 hours of great and relevant content for plan providers. I'll talk about, obviously, coronavirus issues. FPS Trust will be talking about the role of IRAs. Paycor will be on the call. They'll probably talk about coronavirus issues, dealing with payroll and HR stuff. And we got, you know, a whole host of other providers. So we're really looking forward to that. It's free for you. As a plan provider, go find that Zoom link, sign up. We already have about 114 people signed up for it. I actually had to expand the capacity on my webinar subscription. I just signed up for Zoom like everybody else has through this pandemic. So hopefully you can attend, and planning on a plan sponsor one probably the following week. We'll discuss further about that. I got some ideas as well. You know, unfortunately, this is the new reality. Again, go to that 401ksite.com for further information on all my events. So, of course, trying to be timely here, this week's episode is dealing with the CARES Act and, you know, the retirement plan provisions of it. Obviously, there are other provisions dealing with dealing with employee terminations, employers keeping people on payroll and getting credits for it, and SBA loans and whatnot. And I won't be discussing that. I'll only talk about the retirement plan issues because, obviously, it's that 401k podcast, not this that tax lawyer podcast. So, you know, obviously, you know what's going on there with the coronavirus. It's, you know, surreal. You know, I jokingly say I feel like I'm in a really bad disaster movie. Definitely not the Poseidon Adventure or the Tower of Inferno, more like Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, The Swarm, and what I think is the worst disaster movie of all time, at least Irwin Allen producing it, was When Time Ran Out. If you ever see it, try. I actually don't see it. They don't even have a trailer available on YouTube. They have a trailer of the video release of it. And they're kind of mocking the movie, but if you see it, at least a trailer, this is an absurd scene with Pat Morita trying to cross a path, and he accidentally falls over into lava, and it looks so fake on how he's falling. You know, he has a backward fall, and he's falling into it, and it looks just so fake. You know, it's a volcano movie. It's terrible, but you know, we really can't joke about it. Unfortunately, you know, I wasn't around for the Great Depression. I wasn't around for World War II. In my lifetime, this is probably the worst thing I've ever seen. I worked 30 miles away from the World Trade Center. September 11th is obviously comes to mind in terms of tragedy and loss. You know, obviously that was a terrorist attack. But, you know, the thing was, once you got outside of New York and Washington, and obviously Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 crashed, nobody was really affected by it in terms of their everyday life. And with this, you know, coronavirus pandemic, we're all affected. You know, most of us are under a you know, shelter-in-place rule. You know, out here in New York, I went Passover shopping to a local kosher supermarket in the Five Towns, Long Island, which is obviously well hit by the pandemic. You know, there are a lot of people in that community who weren't listening to the rules that were in place, and obviously it grew quite a bit over there. Went to a kosher supermarket and had to have my temperature taken. Thankfully, it's 2020, and there's this little, you know, reader on the forehead that doesn't even have to touch your forehead, and they could measure your temperature. Thankfully, they have that today. Growing up as a kid, you know, taking your temperature, you got the thermometer stuck up your rear end, which to this day, I don't understand how even in the 70s, had such, you know, half-decent technology that they couldn't take temperature, you know, under the armpit or through the mouth. They wanted to get the more accurate reading with a little thing in there. But, you know, again, all joking aside, obviously the loss of humanity, the amount of people who've died from this so far, and unfortunately the amount of people that are going to die soon. You know, right off the bat, you know, this past week, I have two people I know who both lost their fathers to this. You know, they're local to Long Island, and there's just really, you know, nothing you can say about it. It's a tragedy of epic proportions, and obviously, it's affecting all facets of life. When a good chunk of businesses are closed. We've already had 10 million people sign up for unemployment, and I think that that's just a fraction of the people who overall will be unemployed as a result. Luckily, I decided 10 years ago to 10 years ago, within the next couple of days, I think it was April the 8th, I went on my own, and it was you know, looking back now, it was very difficult, but it was probably the greatest decision I ever made, and obviously in lieu of what's going on today. And when I went through Hurricane Sandy, when you work on your own, you don't have to answer to anybody, and you can make arrangements and not worry you're going to get clipped. You know, there are other concerns and whatnot, but, you know, obviously this great unemployment and issues have, you know, required the government to intercede. And they did that with the CARES Act. You know, obviously there were some politics involved with getting it passed, but there were some changes that mostly affect plan participants. I had a TPA reach out to me this past week and said, oh, we really didn't see anything there for relief for plan sponsors. And I said, really, what relief could there be? There's already relief in that, you know, SBA side of things and keeping people on payroll and getting credit for that. So there was already enough relief for employers that there didn't need to be relief on the retirement plan side. And also, a lot of the tools that plan sponsors need to change things around when the economy goes south was always there. You have the ability as a plan sponsor to cease safe harbor contributions, you know, safe harbor match, 30 days notice. Luckily, we have that option. When safe harbor contributions were implemented in 1999, plan sponsors didn't get that leeway, didn't get that relief. Back in 2001, after the dot-bomb era, after September 11th, there was no relief for plan sponsors. So today, there is relief. And obviously, if an employer has a plan but a stated match, they have the right to discontinue it as long as they do the proper amendment, proper notice, and whatnot. Same thing on a defined benefit or money purchase or target benefit, cash balance. Any plan that requires minimum funding contributions, plan sponsor has the right, preferably before June the 1st because of accrual requirements, implement an amendment, cease it for the year, cease it going forward until they could afford it. So the relief for plan sponsors was always there. But relief for plan participants, because obviously there are so many, there needed to be relief, and the CARES Act provided it. And the number one change for the CARES Act is obviously the distribution that is free from the early retirement, the early distribution penalty. Obviously, under 72T of the code, plan participant gets a distribution in cash or by check. But when I say in cash, it really means by check. Takes the money out, doesn't roll it over. If they're under the age of 59 and a half, there's a 10% penalty tacked on to all the other income tax as a result of the money. The CARES Act basically created a distribution option for those affected. Obviously, under the CARES Act, if you take out a distribution under $100,000, you're not going to be subject to that 10% early distribution penalty. For any distributions between January 1st and December 31st, to a participant who is one of the following: somebody who is diagnosed with COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, number two, an individual whose spouse or dependent is diagnosed with COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, or an individual who experiences adverse financial consequences as a result of being quarantined, furloughed, laid off, experiencing a reduction of work hours, inability to work due to lack of child care caused by COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, the closing reduction of hours by a business owned or operated by such participants, or other factors determined by the Treasury Secretary. You know, obviously, so many people already have been diagnosed. People have spouses who have been diagnosed. But more importantly, there are more people, obviously, who are affected by it. There aren't 10 million people that have coronavirus yet. I hope that won't be the case. But there are more people unemployed that obviously have the coronavirus. So they're going to be the number three. They're going to be the biggest boat. And one part of the early distribution that's allowed under this CARES Act is the plan sponsor doesn't have to research whether the participant is affected. The participant is going to certify that they fall within the exception and they are a affected participant for purposes of avoiding that 10% penalty. They will also, once they get the distribution, they can pay the tax over a three-year period, or they can actually repay the distribution to the plan within the three-year period. I don't think that's likely, but it's great that there's an option. You know, my opinion is obviously this is a catastrophe financially for a lot of people, so I'm happy that the the government has allowed this, but from a standpoint as a plan provider, I think it's a terrible thing. Obviously, they need the money. Participants need the money, but obviously, it's bad because we had a 20% to 30% drop in the stock market this quarter that just ended on March 31st. That's terrible. So, whatever distribution participants are getting, it they're getting it at not near to the bottom, but pretty close to the bottom of the market. That's unfortunate for them because they're locking in their losses by taking distribution. And of course, you know, invading retirement plan assets for current income needs, that's problematic because we already have a retirement crisis in this country. It's only going to make things worse. And of course, looking as a plan provider, as a 316 administrator does get paid on plan assets, I know that it's going to affect my pay. I know that it's going to affect the pay of advisors. I know that it's going to affect the pay of a lot of TPAs who take an asset-based fee. And that's not good. Leakage is not good. Leakage is not good for the participant. It's not good for the employer who pays administrative expenses based on the size of the plan's asset. And it's not good for the plan provider who gets paid on plan assets as well. But it is what it is. Next big change, plan loans, they're going to increase it from that $50,000 or 50% of an individual's vested account balance to $100,000 or 100% of an individual's vested account balance. And again, you got to be an affected individual with those three situations. You know, obviously, if you have coronavirus, you have a spouse that has coronavirus, or you've had a terrible job situation because of that. People pulling money out of the plan, even on a plan loan, where theoretically it's a participant direct investment, it's still a bad thing. But again, people need money. You know, one of their biggest assets is their retirement plan account. It's unfortunate, but that's reality. And that's the situation that we live in. The other change, which I think is more problematic, is the minimum distribution waiver. Under 401(a)(9) of the code, required minimum distributions from retirement plans are required for in a retirement plan, 5% owners who are working past the age of 70 and a half, if they were attained 70 and a half in 2019, or 72 in 2020, because we had that Secure Act change, or a participant who is at that age, at that 70 and a half or 72, if they were employee and retired, then the required minimum distributions that have to come out of the plan. So if these people attained 70 and a half in 2019 or 72 in 2020, and the first year for their required beginning date is in 2020, and their first RMD is in 2020, they don't have to take it. That's nice. They don't have to take the required minimum distributions and pay the tax on it. They can waive it. The problem with that rule is, number one, if you were conscientious and you took out your RMD before the implementation of the CARES Act, you are, as Clint Eastwood would say in the Deadpool, sorry for the language, you're shit out of luck. There's no way you can put the money back in. You get no relief. So if you your required beginning date was in 2020, you took out the money January 5th, you're out of luck. And of course, if you were already in pay status, you've already been taking out RMDs for a couple years now, you're out of luck as well. I don't think it's fair. I think that they should have waived it for everybody that wanted to waive it, just like they did back in 2008 or 2009. They were allowed to waive their RMD because of what was going on in the financial crush and crisis, the mortgage implosion and bank implosion back then. So that's something, but I think they should have waived the RMD benefit for all people in pay status. That's just my two cents. There's relief for pension plans. Really not much relief, but obviously plans that have required minimum funding, that means the pension plans, defined benefit, money purchase, target benefit, and cash balance plans. If you had a required contribution in 2020, basically, if you had a calendar plan year, and we're talking about your 2019 contribution, the CARES Act allows you to delay that until January 1, 2021. Not much of a big relief, but Congress and the President wants to make sure people still make contributions to these plans, so they do give plan sponsors some relief. Not only do they have to make the contribution by January 1st, 2021, they also have to adjust and place interest on top of that required contribution. Again, that's some relief. It's not a lot of relief. But again, some of the standards for going forward and freezing and ceasing contributions, that option was always there, so there was no need to add that in the law. One of the weird concepts, especially dealing with the early distribution provision as well as the increased plan loans, is that plan providers are actually giving plan sponsors the option on whether they want to offer it or not. And a lot of people, including my buddy Mike Webb, was suggesting, well, you know, why are plan providers doing that? The reason that plan providers are doing it, I think it's a lot of panicking and confusion, and they're rushing to do things because they really believe that a lot of people are going to request these distributions. And I think they will. I think that, you know, thankfully I'm gainfully employed and still have clients and still have work. But for a lot of people, you know, if you're a local business, you know, you work at a store that's closed because it's not an essential business, you have no money coming in. You're going to want to access the money. So these plan providers are panicking because they want to make sure that the two or three employers who don't want to opt in for these provisions are identified, and then they will not, you know, they'll be cordoned off from those plans that will add it. And my two cents is that no matter what plan sponsors may think, and you know, even if they keep their employees gainfully employed, they should add that provision because they don't know every participant's situation. Just because they gainfully employ all their employees or they kept them on payroll, it doesn't mean that these employees don't have spouses that are out of work. So I believe that, you know, I recommend to all my clients, no matter how much I hate the idea that, you know, people are going to invade their retirement plan assets for current needs, the reality is that people need the money. And we should not act as a plan provider or for a plan sponsor. We should not be a roadblock to that. So these plan providers are, again, trying to identify the employers that are going to opt out. They're not giving these employers that much time to make a decision. We just want them to opt out as quickly as possible so they can be identified and cordoned off because no amendments have to be made until 2022. And if you see a lot of the larger plan providers, they are waiving the distribution costs for the packages and cutting checks for participants who are going to take out a loan or take out a early distribution as a result of coronavirus. That's a very, very nice thing that a lot of the large plan providers could do. I don't expect every provider to do that. You know, obviously, developing a loan package or a distribution package does cost money. You know, providers are entitled to receive that money. So whether they waive it or not is obviously dependent on, you know, their size and their ability to afford and eat that cost. But that's the reason why a lot of the plan providers are really, you know, sitting on top of it. My only concern is that, you know, they're really quick to waive fees. They're very, very quick to identify the employers that are not going to offer it, but they're forgetting one big thing, and I think that's notifying the plan participants that this option is available. Because a lot of the participants are working from home, or they're not working from home because they've been furloughed or terminated. How do these plan providers, how do the plan sponsors notify plan participants of this option? And I think that that's the one thing that I'll fault plan providers for not doing a good job so far. So that's my two cents about it. And, you know, unfortunately, these are the times that we live in. But, you know, every day I wake up in the morning, go to the local bagel place, got to do my kids, help my kids do their homework, and it's just like a new reality. And you just wonder, and you hope that life comes back to normal. This isn't fun. I obviously enjoy going to Major League Baseball stadiums and going to games and having conferences and whatnot. And, you know, this too shall pass. And, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. And, you know, I feel like every other saying that I should say, you know, maybe do it for the Gipper or whatnot. But, you know, we will get through with this hopefully sooner than later. And I wish you nothing but continued health. And again, go to that 401ksite.com for further information about that 401k virtual conference, the conference in Minnesota that we hopefully will have in June, as well as the one in Vegas, and look forward to rescheduled dates for Houston and St. Louis. And again, hope to hear you guys, well, I hope you guys hear me next week on that 401k podcast. Take care. So long.